Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We hope you will be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. A son honoreth. Are we all there? A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Put your hands together for the word of God. Hallelujah. So last week I began talking about the subject we have entitled, Where is my honor? Amen. And I began to explain that it's very important to honor God. Do you understand? The word honor means to respect, it means to love, and it means to appreciate. As I explained, some of us, we love God, but we don't appreciate Him, and we don't respect Him. Some of us, we appreciate everything that God has done for us, but we don't respect Him. In other words, you know, we are not afraid of Him. It's very important to be afraid of God. Moses called Him a consuming fire, a fire that destroys. And one man of God said, we must really be afraid of God, because the danger of fire is that it doesn't make noise. When fire is burning, it doesn't have a sound. Whenever you hear a sound, it's the thing that's been burnt, crying, but the fire itself has no sound. So when that consuming fire is busy destroying your life, it destroys you quietly. Quietly. Before you know it, your life, you can't even see what's going on. Shouldn't you be afraid of someone like that? Then Jesus said, don't fear one who only harms your body, but fear God, who after killing you can lead you, can take you to hell. Hey. So we have to honor Him by respecting Him, by loving Him, and by appreciating Him. Hallelujah. I'm just, you know, backtracking for those who were not here last week. Then I taught you about three areas where we can honor God. Do you remember? What was number one? For those who bring notes to church. Hello, what was number one? So we honor God by honoring His servants. Are you listening to me? There are many different servants that will come in your lifetime. I am one of God's servants. Mom Ruth is one of God's servants. Sometimes your parents are God's servants. Sometimes God will send people at your workplace who help you to strengthen your relationship with God. Sometimes, you know, your biological parents are also your spiritual parents. Sometimes it's like that. Like my daughter, I'm a spiritual father to her, and I'm also her biological father, because I'm a spiritual person. Are you understanding me? So whoever God sends to your life, you must honor that person. And by that I mean you must love that person, you must respect that person, and you must appreciate that person. Very, very important. What was number two? We have to honor the house of God. Hallelujah. This is God's house. It's not just a building, it's God's house. When you are here, you have come to God's house to come and have a meeting with God. Hallelujah. And what was number three? You have to honor the word of God. Amen. Powerful. So today we're going to continue. And today I want to teach you how to honor. How to. Do you understand? How to honor. So we're going to start by how to honor God's servants. So we honor them by receiving them. Someone say, by receiving. Come with me to the book of John chapter 1, verse 10. John chapter 1 from verse 10.
We lift him higher, higher, higher. When the praise of his glory, we lift him higher. Higher, higher, when the praises, his glory comes down.
John chapter 1, verse 10. Are we there? The Bible says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This is talking about Jesus. Isn't it amazing? From verse 1, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible continues to tell us that nothing that was made without him. So, Koketo, when God was designing you, Jesus was involved. Then the Bible says Jesus, the one who created us or participated in creating us, came to us, and the Bible says we didn't know him. Yes. How painful. Your creator comes to you, and the Bible says, and the world knew him not. Forgive. Someone say forgive. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hallelujah. So, when Jesus, the Son of God, came to the earth, the Bible says that there are many people who didn't receive him. So it's possible that God can send his servant to you and you do not receive his servant. When you receive the servant of God, you are honoring God. Why? Because in Matthew chapter 10 from verse 40, it says that he who receives you is receiving me, and he who is receiving me is receiving the one who sent me. So by receiving someone that God has sent, you are honoring the sender. You are saying, I appreciate you for bringing your servant to my life. I thank you for bringing your servant to my life. I respect you, oh God, for bringing your servant to my life. Because very few, in fact, I don't know anyone personally who just woke up and suddenly was born again, and suddenly was reading the Bible, and suddenly was praying. The majority of us, a human being came to preach to us. The majority of us, a human being came and taught us, showed us how to pray, showed us how to read the Bible, caused us to understand the Bible. Because when you start reading the Bible, it's very confusing. It doesn't make sense. But God will send people to your life who will preach, teach the Bible in a way that you will understand. So when God has sent such a person to your life, you must appreciate him for sending such people. So you have to receive whomever God sends to you. Many people struggle to receive because they compare too much. Okay, thank you, but God has sent. Don't reject what God has sent.
Handle.
Hallelujah. And some people reject God's servants just because of language. How silly. You don't receive because of language. What is language? Do you know the fact that we speak different languages is because we disobeyed? It was even actually a curse. Human beings used to speak one language. And then they decided, I think it's Genesis chapter 5 or chapter 11, if I remember correctly. They decided to build a Tower of Babel. And they made a decision that we want to build a tower that will take us to heaven. And so they started building, and God noticed they are building. And God said, because they are united, they are one. And they have decided to do this thing. God said, nothing will stop them. The power of unity. Hey. And God said, you cannot come to me by your own ways. There's only one way to come to me, and that is Jesus. So God said, you know what? We have to stop this nonsense. And God divided them by giving them different languages. But initially, all of us were speaking one language. So when you appreciate language too much, you are appreciating the curse. And you have rejected a man or woman of God because of language. Hallelujah. Some reject because they say, me, I want a prophet. I need a prophet. So that when I come to church, I've got a lot of problems, Pastor. I've got a lot of problems. So I need someone who can tap into the spirit and see my problem, that my mother is busy, my grandmother, my father is busy bewitching me. But God sends a pastor who will say, look, but your problem is that you are lazy. Lazy. You don't want to hear lazy. You want to hear, I see five angels. Look, even if they are 10, if you are lazy, they can't help you. Hallelujah. So don't let anything cause you to reject what God has sent to you, especially when you have a genuine servant of God, one who's really interested in your personal growth, one who's teaching you how to pray for yourself so that you can pray, one who is teaching you to read the Bible for yourself that no one will deceive you. What a special person in such a world of deception, in such a world of evil. Someone who will counsel you, someone who will spend time with you. I remember one of my church members was ill, so they called me, Pastor, come and pray. So I came, I prayed, and the person wasn't feeling better. So we said, okay, fine, let's go to the hospital. We went, and when we got there, they sent us many different places. I was there from about 8 in the morning until 1, just making sure that this person is okay. And as I was busy walking with the person, they kept, are you the person's father? I said, no, I'm not the father, I'm his pastor. And people said, his pastor? I was surprised. Pastor? I said, no, I'm his pastor. And I will take to him. I'll be moving with him. Say, his pastor? I said, yeah, I'm his pastor. Just imagine. If I prayed, I'm finished. In Jesus' name, amen, I'm done. I don't need to be moving with you from. God has sent you someone who cares about you so much. You reject. So when you reject, you are dishonoring the sender. Are you understanding me? The most important thing I can give you, the most powerful thing I can give you, is the word. It's the word. The word of God has so much power that it can transform you and elevate you. It can take you from nothing and make you something. The word of God has so much power that whatever force has been holding you down, it can destroy such forces if you can just receive it. Now, when you have someone who gives you the word, the precious word. I remember one day Jesus was preaching, and he was preaching some heavy things, and he was saying that anyone who eats my body is eating real food. Anyone who drinks my blood is drinking real drink. And people were saying, what is this guy talking about? Is he saying we have to now eat him and drink him? And many people were following Jesus, and the Bible says lots of them turned from Jesus. Then Jesus looked at his 12 disciples and he said, will you also leave me? And Peter said, Lord, where will we go? Because you have the words of life. Peter realized that this man of God has the word. This man of God has the word. This man of God has the word. And as I keep listening to the word that he preaches to me, I'm changing. As I listen to the word that he preaches to me, I'm becoming a better person. As I keep on listening to the word that he has, something is happening to me. So never reject such people. Very important. Are you listening to me, somebody? So, number one, you must receive them. Number two, you must believe in their words. Believe in their words. John chapter 6 verse 63. John chapter 6 verse 63. Are you there? John chapter 6 verse 63. The Bible says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. The words of a genuine man of God, they impact your spirit and they impact your life. Are you listening to me, somebody? So believe in the words of the servant of God, which God has sent to your life. You know, many of, as a pastor, let me say, I see many people struggling unnecessarily because they don't receive the words that sometimes, or the solutions that sometimes I bring. I listen to me. To get married is very easy. Hello? Simple. I'm feeling arrows. I don't know if I should continue saying what I'm saying. It's very easy. Do you understand? And if you want, you can get married. Marriage requires faith. Okay? You never get to a point where you ever have enough. You know, if you are gonna dream that I want my wedding, the roof, I want to see angels and what have you, look, you'll wait until your hair becomes whiter than mine. Do you understand? It's not about angels on the roof. It's just one day. Do you understand?
So don't overcomplicate the thing. Just marry.
Tell your neighbor, just marry.
That's all.
If you can do traditional wedding one day, just do and let's move on. You are married. If you can do one with angels, glory be to God. Put your angels there, but marry.
It's so simple.
Pastor, I don't have money. I just taught a series about faith. Faith without works is dead. If you want to see the power of God, just start. Just set a date. When you go home, go and say, Stanosan, next year, December, me and you. The amens are so soft. Let me. Mamruti, just encourage me as I preach. Of course, I'm talking to people who are of the right age, isn't it? Yeah. But many people, they were trying to. I mean, there's one particular sister. I said to her, Mary. And she said, no, I'm saving for my wedding. I said, you are saving for what? And she said, I want to have this type of wedding. This is a Christian sister. And I said, stop that nonsense and just marry. Whatever you can afford, do and marry and move forward. Maybe some years later, when you have money, then you can do the fancy things you want. And I say, if you have to save, how long is it going to take you? And she said, 5 years. That conversation, we had it almost 10 years ago. Till today, she's not married. She's still saving. And actually, I don't even know if they are still together with that gentleman who gave her 2 children and didn't marry her and left her saving. Hey! So you want to have a prophet. The reason why you are not just marry. Just marry. A lot of financial problems are because, you know, we don't understand spiritual principles. If you want God to manifest himself in your life financially, the Bible tells us clearly, give and it shall be given unto you. I'm talking about believing in the words of the servant that God sends to you. Give and it shall be given. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you fast. I don't care how much you pray. If you don't give, nothing will be given. That's how it works in the kingdom of God. Give and it shall be given. So God cannot give you unless you give. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. There are people who struggle with containing jobs. You don't have a secure job. I tell you, if you become a consistent tither, you will never have a problem with keeping a job. I know it's difficult that, Pastor, I earn so little and you want me to take 10%. And I need it. I need it for... Look, if you want God to be involved, follow his principles. Give offerings, give tithes, and you will see God moving in your life. And keep doing it. Some of us, we pay tithe this month and then we skip the next 2 months because, you know, I'm going home, and then when you come back, then you give tithe again, and then look, you're joking, my friend. Give consistently and tithe consistently and give offerings consistently, and you will see the move of God. Financial breakthrough, financial security, and you will see that God will be lifting you up gradually. I'm telling you the word of God. You take it, you don't take it. All I know is that it works. It works.
Hallelujah. Yes, put your hands together for the Lord. There are many things I can tell you. You know, Mam Ruthie's work, she's now in the, you know, metal and engineering industry. So recently, NUMSA was striking. And when they are striking, no one is allowed to work. Do you understand? And at her workplace, they told her, no work, no pay. And so she was home for about 2 weeks. And one of the weeks, they were not really working. They'll come to work and the NUMSA people will come and then they'll say, go home. So we were stressing, no work, no play, no pay. But to be honest, we were not stressing. Somehow we had faith in God. And when her payday came, her salary was not touched, clean. She has not been working for almost 3 days. 3 weeks, I mean, sorry. And her colleagues, their salaries were deducted. Deduct, deduct, deduct. How can you answer that? You also were not working. Your colleagues are also not working. But when your salary comes, it has not been touched. When your colleague's salary comes, it has been deducted. It's the power of giving. I told you how her boss recently passed away, her old boss. And the boss passing away where she was working means that she has no more job. But miraculously, in the month that the boss passed away, all of a sudden everyone was calling her. She found a job, and while she was still happy with that job, someone else called and said, no, we want you, come. And now she had to choose, which job do I like? The power of giving, the power of tithing. All right, I don't want to spend too much time there, but believe in the words of the servant that God has sent you. There's power there. Number three, obey. Someone say obey. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1. Obey your parents in the Lord. Hallelujah. So obeying is the ability to receive instruction and doing what you have been told to do. Am I still in church? Pute, listen to me. The ability to receive instruction and doing what you are told to do. It's called obeying. Now, a lot of breakthroughs are in obeying. A lot of transformation of life is in obeying. Many years ago, one of my pastors said, we are going to have prayer. And so we were praying the whole week, and on the Friday, he said, on this particular Friday, we are going to pray from 9 in the morning, and we are going to pray the whole day, the whole night, and it becomes an all night. So we're going to pray almost, you know, some 20 hours of prayer, plus minus. Do you understand? I couldn't pray for that long. Most people could speak in tongues. You know, when you can speak in tongues, you can pray 24 hours if you like. You can just go lika paraba shate, rika parabato, laka paraba sakepa, popadaba katarabaka, and you can continue for 24 hours and even more if you can stay awake. So I couldn't speak in tongues those days. And it would have been very strange for me to go there, because what am I going to say all these hours? Are you understanding what I'm saying? But because my pastor had given an instruction, I just went. And I sat there. I tried to pray for 1 hour, 2 hours. Then I ran out of things to say. Then I just sat there. Then I'll see other people praying and I say, "Ish, it's not good for me to sit down." Then I'll just move around. And I had to come with strategies of how to pray. But that day, I met a friend of mine and I said, look, I've got a problem. When I'm sleeping and I'm dreaming, I see myself speaking in tongues. But when I wake up, I can't speak in tongues. What is that? And the friend said to me, God is trying to show you that he's already given you the ability to speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues. And he said to me, speak in tongues now. And I was shy. I said, no, I can't speak now. But that helped me so much. When I was alone, during that day, I just started. Barasanda, 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 barasanda. When someone will come past, when they move away, barasanda, 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 barasanda. And that was the day I began speaking in tongues. If I never went for that meeting, I would still not be speaking in tongues today. You understand? So following that instruction changed my life dramatically. Now I can pray. Now I can pray. Now I can pray. I can pray with fire. And when I pray, things happen. I listen to me. Because I was able to follow instruction. I was able to obey. Many Christians don't obey the simple instruction. Stay after church. No, Pastor Gibbs, you're busy with what? Many of us are going to sleep. Many of us are going to eat. I mean, you can sleep later. You can eat later. You will not die. Can I hear an amen, please? I can hear you. You'll not die. Come on Saturday. Ish, muruti nagi na lima baga. Just obey. Obey. I know you have things to do, but obey. You don't enjoy what I'm saying anymore. Tell a neighbor, say, let's obey. Let's obey. As long as you are being led in things that lead you towards God. You know, the day that I lead you to doing something that is not in the word of God, that one you can say, no, Pastor, we love you, we appreciate you, but this one is not in the word of God. That one is understandable. But as long as I'm leading you to Christ, leading you to be a better Christian, leading you to be a stronger Christian, just obey. Just follow. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And this one is difficult to preach, but I'll preach it anyway. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 8. The book of 2 Kings in the Old Testament, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse. Are you there? The Bible says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Verse 9. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. So here, this woman of God, she knew this man of God called Elisha. And as she became aware of Elisha and she followed his ministry, she told her husband and said, look, this man of God is not like other men of God. I listen to what I'm saying. And in verse 10, the Bible says, the woman said, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Hallelujah. And it continues. So one of the ways that you can honor God's servants is by giving to them. Someone say giving. Now this woman, when she realized that Elisha is a genuine, real man of God, She built a room by her home. She asked her husband, said, can we please build this man of God a room? And they built him a room. And in that room, they put a bed, they put a table, they put a chair, and they put a candle. And they begged him and said, man of God, anytime you are traveling, please pass. We've made a room specially for you. So Elijah could go there. Elisha could go there. He could seek God in that room. He could pray. He could study the word of God in that room. He could rest in between his journeys. Are you listening to me? So they actually gave. They honored the man of God by giving and assisting his ministry in that way. Now when you read this story, you realize that when this woman did this for Elisha, immediately Elisha said to himself, he called his servant Gehazi, and he said, what can be done for this woman? You see, the minute you decide to give to a man of God, you are provoking unmerited blessings. Elisha said, what can be done for this woman? Can I go speak to the king? So Elijah was thinking, this woman has blessed me so much. What can I do for her? And the servant said, look, because the Bible says she was a great woman. She had everything that she needed. Then Gehazi came and said, look, this woman does not have a child. And both her and her husband are now old and they don't have a child. So Elisha prayed for them, and to cut the long story short, they got a child because of their giving. Later, that child died. And when the child died, the woman knew exactly where to go. She went and found Elisha and told Elisha what had happened. And the Bible says that Elisha went to the home, found the young man dead, and lied on top of him. And he prayed, and immediately the young boy came back to life. You see, when you learn to honor the man of God by giving, you are provoking miracles. You are provoking blessings. One day, a certain woman in our church, she was somewhere and she saw a job. And she prayed in her heart and said, Lord, if you give me this job. Someone say, if you give me this job. So she said to God, if you give me this job, I promise you, I will give my first salary to your servant. Do you understand? I'm telling you a true story. So after she prayed that prayer, there was someone who was already working there. After she prayed that prayer, the person who was working in that position all of a sudden said, I don't want to work here anymore. Out of the blue, there were no problems, no issues. She just said, I don't want to work here anymore, and she left. So the people said, okay, please come and fill this position. And she got the job, and she got her first salary, and she came and gave it to me. You thought that would have been the blessing, that she got the job. But her daughter, she wanted to further her education. And miraculously, the bosses who she was working with said, look, don't worry, we will pay for your daughter to go to school. The blessings were just continuous. Just last year, the lady just finished her diploma as an accountant. Just by giving. Hallelujah. Just by giving. Just by giving. So when you honor, and I know it's very tough because we see pastors doing all sorts of things, so we don't have the mind to honor men and women of God. But don't let that thing deceive you. One of Abraham's secrets for wealth, Abraham was a very wealthy man, that he had 300 soldiers living in his house. 300 soldiers. I hear that recently, when people were looting in KZN and I think in Joburg, we had to release soldiers. Do you remember? Our country, the whole government of South Africa, we couldn't even feed those guys. They were even sending messages to other political leaders, you know, saying, look, our government, we are here, they've called us here, but we don't have anywhere to eat. We don't have anywhere to sleep. But Abraham alone was able to feed 300 people who were soldiers living in his house and their families. Imagine how blessed that man is. And the secret of his blessing is that one day he met a man of God called Melchizedek. And he honored Melchizedek, and the Bible says that he paid a tenth of everything he had to Melchizedek. Then I knew that Abraham knew the secret of giving. And he was a blessed man. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, just smile. Just give the Lord a smile. Give the Lord a smile. Hallelujah. I'm preaching. So, this is how we honor God's servants. First, we have to receive them. Then we have to receive their message. Believe in what God has put in their mouths for us. It's very important. Hallelujah. And then, what was number three? We have to obey. Obey. Follow the instructions. The instructions lead you to your next level of your walk with God and your next level of life. And then we have to give. When you do these things, you are honoring the people that God has given to you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Then we also have to honor God's house, like I explained. And how do you honor the house of God? So first and foremost, for you to be able to honor the house of God, you must understand that God's house is holy. Someone say holy. That means everything, even this carpet. You see how old this carpet is? It's holy because it's in the house of God. The chair that you are sitting on, it's holy. Everything, it's holy, means it's sacred. I don't know if I can explain it better, but it's sacred. It's a holy thing. Are you listening to me? So when you see everything as holy, this pulpit is holy. Everything here is holy because it's the house of God. When you learn to respect and understand that everything is holy, you will respect and appreciate. You will not just misbehave in the house of God when you understand that I'm in a holy place. When Moses met the Lord said to him, Moses, take off your feet, for where you are standing is holy ground. It was turned holy because the Lord was there. Are you listening to me? So understand, even this mic is holy. So if it's holy, it doesn't mean that you just come and say, yo, man, yo. Then it's like you're lost. You're not respecting. Tell your neighbor, say, it is holy. It is holy. Some of us sitting here in our homes, there are certain dishes that are holy. You can't touch them unless visitors have come. They are holy to everybody else. They are untouchables. Do you understand? So also in the house of God, there are holy things. Do you understand? When we learn to respect the holiness of God's sanctuary, then you see, we are beginning to honor Him and respect Him and appreciate Him. There are people who don't understand the holiness. I mean, some weeks ago or a month ago or so, there were people at night who were coming into our church. So when we came here on Saturday, you know, to have our shepherd's training, we'll find that people are sleeping here at night, people are drinking here at night, and all sorts of funny things. They do not honor God. They do not honor the house of God. Are you listening to me? So we prayed and we cursed them. We cursed them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Ever since we cursed them, and our curse is legal because they are dishonoring the house of God. Ever since we cursed them, we've never seen them again. Every time we come on Saturday, it's how we left it. Are you listening to me? So when you come here, understand that you are coming to a holy place. It's holy, it's sacred. It belongs to God. It's not like any other building. Even if it doesn't look the fanciest, but because it's the house of God, it's holy. Respect it. Hallelujah. And the other thing that you have to do to honor the house of God is by sacrifices. So the Bible, when God initially built his first house, which was the tabernacle of the congregation in the book of Exodus, one of the things that used to happen in that property that God had asked Moses to build for him was sacrifices were performed there. Someone says sacrifices. So they used to perform all forms of sacrifices. Sacrifices for forgiveness, sacrifices for thanksgiving, sacrifices for, you know, whenever they've committed sin and they needed to ask God to forgive them, and many, many sacrifices. If you read the book of Leviticus and the book of Exodus, you will see all the different sacrifices they used to perform. Now, we do not literally sacrifice and kill animals anymore, but we have to bring our sacrifices of prayer. When we come and pray here, in the book of Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, the house of God is the house of prayer for all nations. So we must bring our sacrifices of prayer. Hello? You can pray from your home, it's powerful. But sometimes your problems can only be solved if you bring them to the house of God and you offer your sacrifice of prayer. And other sacrifices that we have to bring are sacrifices of worship. So we have to give our sacrificial worship to God. We have to come and worship him here. It's a type of sacrifice. In the tabernacle of the congregation, I taught this in Easter. There was a gate. First of all, the Bible says that enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Once you entered the gate, there was an altar next to the gate. And in that altar, that's where you had to clean yourself and wash yourself. And then the sacrifices were made on that altar. Do you understand? And most of the sacrifices that were made there were sacrifices of, you know, sin sacrifices, asking God to forgive them. When you enter into the tabernacle, it was divided into two, the holy place and the most holy place. Are you here? And then in the holy place, there was another altar where they used to burn incense. Incense there stands for prayer. Incense there stands for worship. So when you come to the house of God, God still wants to hear that, smell that incense. He still wants to smell your prayers. When you pray, your prayers come to God like incense. When you worship, your worship comes to God like incense. Do you know what is incense? So when you come to the house of God, come with the mind that I'm coming to offer sacrifices of prayer. Amen. Come with the mind that I'm coming to offer sacrifices of worship. Amen. There are some of us here that when we are worshiping and praising God, you are just looking around like you're a zombie. You have no emotion, you have no feeling, you have nothing. You just look. Hello? You haven't understand that God is expecting your sacrifice of prayer. But Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Just say something. Prayer in the dictionary means to talk to God. So just talk. When you start talking, start praying, whatever topics that we are giving to God, it's like you are burning incense and it goes up to heaven. When we are worshiping, learn to lift up your hands. Learn to close your eyes. Learn to, you know, get out of your problems and all your thoughts and just offer your worship to him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how good he has been to you. Just worship him. When we come and do that in the house of God, we are honoring his house. Where else can we worship him in a congregation like this? In other places, when you try and say, okay, come now, if you just go to spa and say, okay, stop what we are doing, let's worship God. If you are not careful, they'll beat you. So when we come to this house, we must give him our sacrifices. Hallelujah. Different sacrifices. Prayer, thanksgiving, you know. One man of God said the Lord came to him recently and God started speaking to him. And God said to him, do you know why you see so many troubles in the earth? And the man of God said to the Lord, Lord, I don't know why. And the Lord said that the reason why you are seeing problems in the earth is that my children no longer ask my will to be done. Many people, when they pray, they want a job. When they want a husband, they want. But very few people will say, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when you come to church and we pray such prayer topics, it's a sacrifice that we are giving to the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And finally, I'll end with this today. One of the ways that you honor God is by making sure that you yourself are holy. You yourself must be holy. The Bible in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, if you, hello, please look at me. Just write the scripture, you'll read it at home. If you can make the decision that on Monday I will pray, I'll read my Bible. On Tuesday, I'll pray. I'll read my Bible. All the way up until Sunday. When you enter this house and we say, let us pray, you realize that you'll pray like nobody else. When we say, let us worship, you worship like nobody else. Many Christians, when they come to the house of God, they don't come with the attitude to come and give God something. Many Christians come with the attitude that, you know, I've got problems. You know, I want. But if you can work on yourself every single day by praying, work on yourself every single day by reading your Bible, you are making yourself holy in God's eyes. When you come to the house of God, your spirit will be ready to do what it normally does during the week. That's why the Bible says God is seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So you don't come to the church to be in the spirit. You are in the spirit the whole week. And when we come here, we just join together and we just bless him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Many people don't receive the word of God because they don't spend time personally with the word of God. When you come here, I'm preaching fire and you're busy dozing. What? It's a sign. Tell anywhere it's a sign. You can't relate. You can't respond. There's no excitement. It's because during the week, there was no activity that connects you to God. So even when we have gathered as a group, you still can't connect. We are blessing God. We are worshiping him. Some people are in the spirit and you are just there looking as though So you have to work on yourself every day by praying every day. At least try to spend an hour with God every day. 1 hour. Hello? I can't hear you. 1 hour. Just pray. Worship Him in that hour. Read your Bible in that hour. Every day. You will notice that even as you go to work, worship will be bubbling in your heart. As you are going to school, prayer will be coming without you thinking, let me pray. It will just come out of you. Keltum malades, el dubila edalodunde rebalades, idude bradaga dolabriado zodes. And it will be just bursting out of you. Because you are constantly connected. So because you are always connected, when you come to the house of God, you are still connected. So we can join and worship the Father. We can join and pray to Him. And it will be very powerful. So when you come to the house of God already holy, I know the house of God is a place where we also get fixed. But also you can pray and God can deal with you personally. Am I talking to somebody? So by doing that, you honor the house of God. Amen. And let me close with this last one. We talk about the word of God. How can you honor? I feel like my volume has gone down a bit. How to honor the word of God. Because of time, I won't go through everything. But I'll just share this one thing. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Quickly, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Are you there? The Bible says, this book of the law, which is the Bible, okay? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. In other words, that every time you speak, the word of God must come out of you. And it continues to say, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate means think, think, think. You think about His word day and night, day and night, day and night. So in other words, when your mouth opens, people must hear the word of God. Even if you don't quote a scripture, but someone who knows the word of God must be able to say, no, this person reads the Bible. Because your mind must consistently be filled with the word of God. Are you here? And this is what I want to tell you. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Hallelujah. So, it's good to have a Bible. Borrow me a Bible. It's good to have a Bible. Do you understand? But to have a Bible and don't read it, you are the same as you've done nothing. So God doesn't only say that we have to read it, but God says that you must think deeply about His word. And when you speak, you must speak His word. But how do you really honor God? The Bible says that by making sure that you do everything that is in His word. You do. You do. You do. Do you understand? When you read and you don't do, something is missing. When you go to church but you don't do what is in His word, something is missing. When you pray but you don't do what is in His word, something is missing. So when you learn to read the Bible, believe in it, and begin to practice what you learn from the word of God, then you are honoring the word of God. When I read the Bible, I always endeavor to try my best to do everything that is in His word. And this is not for pastors, it's for Christians. You also must endeavor to do what is in the word of God. It's very important. Are you listening to me, somebody? When you begin doing, you have started honoring the word of God. And by honoring the word of God, you are honoring God Himself, because He Himself is the word. The Bible says there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. So when you honor the word of God, you are honoring God. And then one of the best ways to honor His word is by doing what is in His word. By doing. Many Christians don't do. Many Christians know a lot, but they don't do anything. Many Christians are proud. If you quote a scripture, they'll finish it for you. But when you look at their lives, but the thing that you are quoting, I can't see it in your day-to-day life. We must do. Tell your neighbor, say, we must start practicing the word of God. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. So every day, I want you to ask yourself, what am I practicing that is from the word of God? Do you understand what I'm saying? What am I practicing? So when you read the Bible, find something, anything that touches you. For example, if you realize that, you know, God is such a kind person, then the Holy Spirit is telling you something. So then you have to ask yourself, am I kind? And you have to really be truthful with yourself. And then you have to start working on yourself so that you are a kind person. That's just a simple example. But there are many things that are in scripture that you can see and begin to practice. Even how to raise your children. The word of God tells us that Abraham, you see, God said to Abraham, I know Abraham, how that he will raise his children to follow him. Following him means having a relationship with God. So the word of God teaches us that we have to raise children who will know God. So when your children are growing and they don't know God, you are not doing or practicing scriptures. So recently my daughter came back from school and she said, Daddy, God is a tree, ne? I said, eh? God is a tree. I said, I don't understand, sister. What are you trying to say? Then she said to me, where is God? Where? Because I said to her, no, God is not a tree. Then she said, where is God? Can I see Him? I want to see Him. And I was so happy. I couldn't answer her. So I said to her, just pray. Say, Lord Jesus, please, I want to see You. And I said to her, just pray this prayer and He will come and He will show Himself. But just for the fact that she can initiate, not that I started it, she, at her age, my daughter is about 4 years old, she can initiate a conversation about God. Your daughter is 15 years old now. There's no God in her mouth. Your daughter is 21. There's no God in her mouth. So we have to practice the word of God and raise our children in such a manner that from a young age, they will know God. It's just one of the many things that are in the Bible. If we had to go through everyone, this service will not end. But I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. put your hands together for Jesus and give him praise. Let's rise to our feet. We have to honor the Lord. Hallelujah. We must honor him. God must be the first in our hearts. God must be the first in our lives. God must be bigger than everything in our lives. We must give him that position, and we must consistently honor him all the days of our lives. Amen. I just want you to lift up your hands and just bless him, thank him, worship him, celebrate him, you know, give him the position of God in your life. Give him the position of a father. Open your mouth, talk to him, thank him, bless him, worship him, praise him, thank him, and tell him that you will honor him because he deserves our honor. In the name of Jesus. Le kaparaba shantiri bakaterias. Raba kaparaba shati kapula yandiri bara. Makataraba kaparabadus. Me kataraba shantiri bakaya kadikara kadadarabashia. We will honor your servants, my heavenly Father. We will appreciate them. We will respect them. Eh, shadebakudus. We will honor your house. Your house is holy. This building has been hallowed because of your presence here and the anointing of God that is in this house. Everything in this building is hallowed. Even the ground is holy. Every time we come here, Lord, we will come with this understanding that we are coming to a holy place. We are coming to meet our Father. We are coming to offer our sacrifices of praise, our sacrifices of worship, our sacrifices of prayer, so that continuously you will always be received the incense coming from Healing Fire Ministries. My God, we'll give our sin offerings. We'll come and pray and ask for forgiveness and ask that, Lord, we will be in right standing with you. We will honor you. We will give our thanksgiving sacrifices. And Lord, we will just bless your holy name so that you will be honored in our hearts. We'll honor your word. We'll honor your word by giving your word priority in our lives. We'll honor your word, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by doing what is written therein, by ensuring, oh God, that we change our language so that our language will be the word language. We pray in the name of Jesus. Work in us, Father. Deal with us, Lord. Transform us and change us. Make us into people who bring honor to your name, who bring honor to your house, who bring honor in everything that we do. Jehovah, we pray in the mighty name of your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church will say aloud, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the powerful word of God. We hope you are blessed by this message. For more inquiries, go to healingfireministries.org or email us at info@healingfireministries.com or call at 072-591-2858. God bless you.